Okay, got your Bibles this morning? You're going to need one. If you don't, we've got one for you, marked and ready to open. Raise your hand. There's guys coming down, gals coming down. Love to put it in your hand. We are in Acts chapter 21, verse 1. Acts 21, verse 1. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'll put one in your hand. Anyone else need a Bible? Okay, everyone's got one? Good. Acts chapter 21, verse 1. Now, as we move into chapter 21, we come to the concluding chapters of Paul's life and ministry. From this point, Paul becomes the prisoner of the Lord in the literal sense. He is taken in chains from Jerusalem all the way up to Rome. Ultimately, Paul will spend 2 years in prison in Caesarea. He will spend 3 years in prison in Rome, which is where the book of Acts ends. Team, did you get that? I mean, here's Paul. He's coming to the end of his life. He has labored for the Lord. He has just been faithful to God. He's gone through the most amazing things. And here's the end of his life. And where does God take him? Jail in Caesarea for 2 years. Jail in Rome for 3 years. This morning, we're going to find out why. This is a radical time for the Apostle Paul. As you know, he's gone through some tough times up to this point, but this time will now eclipse them all. Let's start reading in verse 1. Now it came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Cos, and the following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed at Tyre. And there the ship was to unload her cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. And when we had come to the end of those days, we departed and went our way. And they all accompanied us, the wives and children, so we were out of the city, and we knelt down on the shore and we prayed. When we had taken our leave of one another, we boarded the ship and they returned home. And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and greeted the brethren and stayed with them 1 day. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven and stayed with him. Now this man had 4 virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and his feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place, we pleaded with them not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." Oh, Father, thank you that you brought us to this place today. And Lord, as we talk about the chains that we can have in this life, and there's some of the things we can go through. And Lord, for some, those chains may be still in front of us, the future. Lord, there are others here today. Those chains are on them right now. And Lord, sometimes it's so hard to figure out why. Why, God? Why this suffering? Why this pain? Why these circumstances? And yet, God, you have a purpose and a plan that's so amazing. So, God, would you speak to us? Lord Jesus, would you come by your Spirit? Would you let your word come alive in us today? And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you took the time to look at a map in the back of your study Bible, you know that place in the back that no one ever kind of goes, you would see that what Paul and company are doing here is they're just making their way down the coast of Asia Minor. Do you see that? And then eventually they'll reach across the Mediterranean towards Israel and Jerusalem. Now Luke tells us that when they got to Tyre, that they went looking for the Christians that were there. The Greek word that Luke uses here is very interesting for went looking. It's agnus risko, and it means to find by intense searching. You see, this was not a casual effort to find the Christians in that city. No, it was a determined effort to find the believers that were there. They sought them out aggressively, the fellowship that could be with the Christians in this city. And you know, I'm always interested in the Christians that come to Maui that seek out our church on a Sunday morning. I know we're not easy to find. Now, we're easier now because of the work that Josh Meese has done on our webpage. Have you gone to the Kumulani Chapel webpage lately? It's awesome, particularly the directions to our church, which used to be non-existent, right? So it is easier, but still not that easy because we're kind of at the end of the earth. So it really blesses me when people who are on vacation take the time and the effort to seek out fellowship with the Christians that are here. And many of you have done that here this morning. I just want to thank you for being here. It blesses my heart that you would take your time on vacation to come and to worship with us at Kumulani Chapel. So thank you for being here today. Because here's what I know. For everyone that finds our church, there are 10 others that avoid us like the plague. I was back in Santa Barbara at my daughter's wedding. Guy came up and goes, "I was just on Maui. I saw you at a restaurant." I said, "Why didn't you say hi?" He said, "Oh, I didn't want to bother you." And I thought, well, maybe. But maybe he didn't want his Maui pastor to be bothering him. You see, Paul and company made it a point to seek out Christians wherever they went so they could minister to them and be ministered to by them. Now, how did there get to be Christians in Tyre in the first place? I mean, this is a long ways away from the Mother Church of Jerusalem. Well, if you're a student of the Bible, and particularly a student of the life of Jesus Christ, you remember that men came to Jesus from Tyre, and Jesus himself went to Tyre and Sidon. Do you remember that? And while Jesus was there, he had an encounter with a Syrophoenician woman. You'll find this recorded in chapter 7 of Mark's Gospel. And this is a wonderful story. Mark tells us that Jesus came into the city, a Gentile city, and he entered a house because he didn't want people to know that he was there. But this woman found him out, and she came to ask Jesus to heal her daughter who was demon-possessed. And it says that she just kept asking Jesus for help. In other words, she was a pest. She wouldn't take no for an answer. She kept knocking on that door, but finally Jesus said to her, "Woman, let the children be filled first, for it's not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to the little dogs." Now, this was not a very politically correct statement back in this day, because what Jesus is saying to her here is that his ministry was first to Israel. They're the little children. And he would not take his ministry elsewhere to the Gentile dogs until the Jews were filled. But this Gentile woman came back and said, "Oh yes, but even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." And Jesus said, "Oh woman, you got the heart of God. You got it. You know his heart. And for this saying, go your way, the demon has been cast out of your daughter." It could be that woman's faith became the foundation for the church in Tyre. And she might have even been part of this group that Paul and company found when they were there. Now, this brings us to the interesting part of our study here this morning, because as this group gathers together, they bring a message to Paul, a message that Paul had been getting by the Holy Spirit in just about every town that he had gone through. And that was that bad things were waiting for him in Jerusalem. And as these saints received this word from the Lord, their conviction was that Paul shouldn't go to Jerusalem, that he should avoid the trouble that was there. In fact, in the Greek, it is really strong. They literally say, "Stop immediately going to Israel, to Jerusalem." But do you think Paul was going to stop? Oh, no. They continued on to Caesarea, where they stayed in the house of Philip, the evangelist, with his four daughters who were prophets. Now, this is the same Philip that Paul had chased out of Jerusalem 20 years earlier, back in Paul's BC days. And he'd taken the gospel to the Samaritans. But now he's receiving Paul back into his house 20 years later as a brother in Christ. And there, Paul received the same disturbing message again. Agabus, the prophet, comes down. Now, you remember Agabus was the prophet that predicted the great famine in Jerusalem. And he was right on with that prediction. In fact, that famine was ongoing at this time. Now, Agabus is about to prophesy again. And here's what he does. He takes off the sash or the belt that Paul had tied around his tunic, and he ties up his own hands, and he ties up his own feet. And he says, so shall the Jews in Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Wow, that's quite a prophecy. And look at the response from the people that were with Paul in verse 12. Now, when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go to Jerusalem. I mean, this is so amazing. You have two groups of people who get the exact same revelation from God, and yet they come to two different conclusions, two different interpretations, two different convictions. On the one hand, you have the company that was traveling with Paul and those of the household of Philip saying that there was no way that Paul should go to Jerusalem. They saw this as a clear warning from God. To them, it was very clear. The Spirit was saying, Paul, don't go. But then on the other hand, you've got Paul, the apostle, standing all alone, saying, okay, I know these warnings are valid. I know the prophecies are true. But still, he had to go. The Holy Spirit had warned him of his fate, but still, it was his fate. It was God's plan for his life to live out his life as a prisoner for Christ. So which one was right? Which one correctly interpreted the word of the Spirit? Well, it's not that easy to figure out. See, some say this was Paul's big mistake. In fact, Ray Stedman, in his series on Acts, entitles this section, Paul's Mistake. And he makes some good points about God's leading. God opening and shutting doors before us. He talks about Paul being blinded by his intense desire to reach the Jews with the gospel. Now, others say that Paul's companions were wrong because they were blinded by their love for Paul and their desperate desire to see Paul continue on his ministry to the Gentiles. But here's the reality. Even in chains, the ministry of Paul was unimpeded. In fact, you'd have to say that it was because Paul was in chains that the ministry that Jesus had called him to was fulfilled. Remember what Jesus said to Ananias? He said, Paul was his chosen vessel to bear his name before three groups, Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And it was as a result of this imprisonment that Paul would appear before governors and kings and ultimately before the most powerful Gentile man in the world, the great Caesar himself. It was because of these chains he got to address the leadership of Israel. It was because of these chains he got to share the gospel with the most powerful Jews in Rome. In chains, he got to show God's power to the Gentiles on the island of Malta. He got to write letters from prison to the churches that still bless us today. But here's the clincher in all this. When you look ahead to Acts chapter 23, you see Paul's imprisoned in Jerusalem, about to be torn apart by the leadership that's there. And it says that Jesus came and he stood with him. And he said, Paul, be of good cheer, for you have testified of me in Jerusalem. You must also bear witness of me in Rome. In other words, Jesus is saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. You made the right choice here. You're on the right track. And know this, just as you testified of me in Jerusalem, you're going to make it to Rome. You're going to testify of me there. I can't think of a better endorsement than that. Can you? Now, this wasn't easy for Paul. It wasn't the kind of ministry that Paul expected for the last part of his life, but he was exactly where God wanted to be. Now, I want us to think for a minute here about why the rest of Paul's company didn't get this. Why were they so sure that Paul was wrong in this decision? What was so persuasive in their argument that they almost changed Paul's heart in this matter? Well, I believe that they just didn't think it could possibly be God's will for Paul to suffer and to go to prison. I think they're saying, God, don't you love Paul? Why would you put him in chains? God, don't you love Paul? Hasn't he served you well? Why would you put him in prison? I mean, wouldn't Paul be much more useful if he were free to preach the gospel wherever he wanted to preach it? Doesn't it make much better sense for Paul to be in control of his ministry and not the Roman government? And with our logic, we would say, yeah, that makes sense. Paul knows more about his ministry than the Romans did. Paul would be better off outside of jail than he would inside of jail. Paul would be more usable to God free than in chains. I mean, wouldn't our logic tell us that? But the Bible tells us to lean not on our what? Our own understanding. But in all our ways to what? To acknowledge God. And he will direct our path. Because here's the reality. Could Paul in and of himself have ever gotten an audience with King Agrippa? Or with Governor Felix or Festus? Could Paul in and of himself ever have had the chance to stand before the entire Sanhedrin, the ruling elite of Israel, and give an account of the gospel? I doubt it. Would Paul ever have been able to meet with the most prominent Jews in Rome, those Jews that had risen to a place of power and authority in the most powerful city in the world? I mean, not in your life. It would have never happened. So what Paul couldn't accomplish in and of himself, God accomplished through his chains. The ministry of Paul would have never earned him these rights, but imprisonment and chains did. It was through suffering and the shame of imprisonment that God would accomplish through Paul what he wanted and ordained to be accomplished. Now, some of you are thinking, come on, Pastor, don't tell me this. This is not what I want to hear on Sunday morning. There's no way that God's plan can be to suffer and to be in chain and to be in shipwreck and to be in prison. There's no way that could be God's plan for Paul. But you see, yes, it was. Listen again to the words of Jesus in Acts 9:16. And I will show Paul how many things he must, what's the word? Yeah, it's hard to even say, isn't it? Say it again. Suffer. For my name's sake. You see, Jesus said that Paul would be his chosen vessel to bear his name before Gentiles, kings, and the Jews, but it would be accomplished through suffering. To accomplish God's great calling on Paul's life, he was going to suffer many things for his name's sake. And Paul knew this. He knew it. Paul said in Acts 20:22, and see now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulation await me. And for that reason, Paul was able to say in verse 13 of our chapter today, for I am ready not only to be bound, but to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord. Man, that's a negative confession, isn't it? You know, Paul was obviously not into the new faith doctrine that's so popular today. I once had one of the faith guys tell me that it was not God's will for any of us to die, that we should all just be translated like Enoch did. And the reason that we die is because we don't have enough faith and we have too many negative confessions about death. Well, Paul saw it differently, didn't he? If it was God's will for him to go to Jerusalem and be arrested and jailed, praise God. If it served God's purpose for him to go to Jerusalem and die, then so be it. You see, his life was no longer his own. It belonged to God. And whatever God wanted to do with his life, he could do. And what God wanted to do with Paul's life was to put it in chains. He was going to put Paul's future into the hands of the Roman government. so that God could accomplish through Paul all that he wanted to accomplish. And here's what's neat. Those that were with Paul, those that accompanied him, that watched this whole thing come down, they finally said, the will of the Lord be done. They didn't understand it. They didn't get it. But they said, Lord, your will be done. That's a wonderful thing. So let me ask you a question this morning. And this is the application part of our sermon. Let me ask you a question this morning. Could it be that God's will, God's plan for your life is going to include suffering? Could it be that God's plan for your life is to take you through pain and heartache? And maybe even take the future out of your own hands and put it into the hands of others? The answer to that is quite possibly so. Why? Why? Because God knows that through these things, He'll be able to accomplish through you exactly what He wants. Those things are the vehicles that God is going to use to take you where He wants you to go. Now, for some of us, you know, those chains may be way out there in the future. But for others of us, wow, those chains are on you right now. I know that. I know it. God has changed some of you to sickness and disease. He's changed you to them. He's chained others of you to family members that are sick and just desperately need your help right now. Some of you are chained to your children. You know this is a crucial time in their lives. It's crucial. And for this season, you got to be chained to your kids. Others of you are chained to your job or your businesses. Some of you are chained to unbelieving spouses. Still others are chained to relationships that are hard and demanding. And in many cases, you're suffering. In many cases, it's hard. And you're saying, God, is this really the best? God, wouldn't it be better if? And yet, what we should be saying, right along with Paul, is I am the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. My life's no longer my own. I'm ready to be bound, and not only that, but to die for His name's sake. Because I know that through these chains, God's going to take me places for Him I could never get on my own. I could never get there. That's how God's going to fulfill His calling on my life. And in that, the wonderful will of the Lord, in that God's wonderful plan for you is going to be fulfilled. And people, I'm telling you, God can take you places that you would never have imagined you could get. Can I tell you how this worked its way out in the life of one of my good friends, Jay Cardy? You know Jay Cardy, right? Because he was Uncle Jay who explained the gospel to us, the series he took us through here at Kumlani Chapel. Jay and Mary had retired to Maui after very successful speaking and pastoring ministry in the mainland. And, you know, things were great on Maui. Their son and their daughter-in-law were here. Grandbaby was on the way. They had their condo in Kapalua. I mean, come on, things were good. It was great. But then Jay got the news. The Friday before Easter, 2 years ago, yeah, Good Friday, that he had one of those blood cancers. Second round of cancer he'd gone through, survived the first one. And of course, there wasn't the treatment he needed here on Maui, so they had to roll it up, pack it up, and move back. Yes, the M word, to the mainland. I know, ow! Oh! It's like, wow. And when we heard this, we were bummed out. And team, I gotta be honest with you this morning. When I got that call from Jay the Saturday before Easter, I was mad at God. I was ticked off. I said, God, what more could this guy do for you? Hasn't he done enough? Hasn't he served you enough? Shouldn't God just leave him on Maui with us? He's been used here. His kids are here. God, this would be a great place for your servant to stay and serve out the last days of his life. I mean, from Maui to heaven. Doesn't get any better than that, right? But you know, God's answer was no, no, because I am not done with J. Cardi yet. So he goes back to Santa Barbara, starts doing his treatment. Bunch of other cancer patients around him. Jay starts ministering to him, as you know that he would. And they start coming to Christ, one after another, after another, after another. Calvary Chapel Santa Barbara realizes it, ordains Jay. So now he can minister to the cancer patients there as their chaplain to the hospitals. And Jay told me that there's not a week that's gone by that where there hasn't been one person that's come to Christ. Every week, at least one person has come to Christ. Isn't that amazing? And in some weeks, multiple. There's just such tremendous fruits come out of this. But it doesn't stop there. Because, see, then the guy from Athletes in Action hears that Jay Cardi's back in Santa Barbara, back in business, being used of God. So he sets Jay up to speak in every high school in Santa Barbara County. That's 6 or 7 high schools. Now, you know Jay, he loves speaking to kids. That's his passion. He thought that was over. He thought that was done. And so he goes and talks about, you know, playing for the Lakers and coaching with Coach Wooden and how Jesus had greatly impacted his life. So successful, they say, we got to do this in Ventura County. Now we got to do this in L.A. County. I think before God's done with Jay, he's going to bring the gospel to a whole new generation of kids in Southern California. How cool is that? Now, I know salt water therapy at Napili Bay every day. It's pretty good. And I must admit, Jay's body surfing was getting a lot better. But wouldn't you say the ministry that God has called him to in the chains of cancer is greater still? You know, I wonder what God has in store for you with your chains. I wonder where God is going to take you with the chains he's put on your life. Get ready. He's going to blow your mind. Father, thank you. What a hard but what a wonderful place to be today. And Lord, I believe that you brought people here today because this was your message to them. It's like there was no one else here. It's just for them, just for you today. Because God knows how desperate you are. He knows how bound up by those chains you feel right now. And he's just laying his hand on you saying, I've got a plan. I've got a purpose. I know what it looks like. It looks like Caesarea for 2 years, in jail in Rome for 3 years. It looks unbearable, but I've got a plan. I've got a purpose. I'll take you before kings and governors and Gentiles and my people Israel. I'll take you before people. I'll take you places that will blow your mind. And so, Father, I would pray right now that just as you came and you stood with Paul and you said, be of good cheer, Paul, that you would stand with some people right here that they've got chains on them. Lord, you know the chains. I know the chains. Some have chains that I can't even see. But you'd say, hey, be of good cheer. I've got a plan. I've got a purpose. I'm gonna take you places. I'm going to do things in your life that will absolutely astonish you and amaze you. And our heart just needs to be to submit, to say, okay, yes, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. I'm not going to give in to the voice of the enemy. I'm not going to give in to the voice of the world. Jesus, I'm going to hear your voice loud and clear right now. Right now, your voice. And I'm going to say, Lord, your will be done. Your will be done. And this morning, while every head is bowed, all hearts are before God, some of you need to say, you just need to acknowledge before God, God, I acknowledge these chains. I know, I believe I'm right where you want me to be. And I say, Lord, your will be done. Your will be done. If that's you, just raise your hand up. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want God's will done in my life. Okay, awesome, 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 awesome. Oh, there's people all over the place. Awesome, right? I see you right there. Anyone else? Is God speaking to you? God put those chains on you. Yeah, yeah. You know what they are. Yeah, you see them. Great. Anyone else? Way in the back. Hallelujah. God, your will be done. I'm right where you need me to be. I'm there. I'm all in. Are you all in? You're all in. I can tell. I can tell. I can tell. You're all in. Hallelujah. Okay, God, blow our minds. Lord, from this day forward, take us places that constantly amaze us. That constantly amaze us. Lord, you're so amazing. You're so great. Now, Lord, as we go through Paul, as he starts his journey, we're starting our journey today, Lord. So, Father, teach us, instruct us. And God, fill us with your Spirit that we have the power to do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, let's